What's up, everyone? It's been a long, long time since I've done a podcast here on the Matt Biamonte podcast. Well overdue. Man, so much has happened since the last one. BYU basketball, I thought, was going to make its way to a Final Four, and then COVID shut that down and shut down everything as we know it. No sports, no movies. And the NBA has returned since then, and in today's podcast, I'm going to chat with my friend Kyle Bruderer, another Lakers fan, as we kind of break down what we've seen in the bubble, especially regarding the Lakers. And we talk a little bit about the Jazz and some dark horse teams and some of our favorite things from the bubble so far. It's a good conversation. I'll play that shortly. Since that conversation, which was just a few days ago, Kyle Kuzma hit a game winner to beat the Denver Nuggets, who were without Jamal Murray. And a couple thoughts on that. One, I think it's big time for Kuzma to have that confidence going into the playoffs. Because LeBron James said after the game, we can't win a championship if Kuzma's not the third best player. He's absolutely right. Kuzma needs to be the guy. He's been in the bubble. He's been really good in the bubble. Easily the best three-point shooter for the Lakers. A reliable third scorer. So that's just a shot in the arm for Kuzma confidence-wise, which he needed. And to get that trust from LeBron and Vogel, that was big time. Problem is, after the game, he runs his mouth in the post-game conference saying that he should be a starting caliber player. He just can't get out of his own way. It's frustrating that Kuzma just doesn't buy into his role and focus on hoops. Instead, he's worried about fashion. He's worried about being a starter. He's worried about things that a lot of young players are worried about. And I just wonder if that's going to be the downfall of Kuzma in Los Angeles and specifically for this year. We'll see. A positive step for the Lakers heading into the playoffs. But, definitely concerned. And I'll get into that more with Kyle Bruderer as we break down the bubble. Let's get to that now. So without further ado, my conversation with Kyle on the NBA in the bubble. Kyle Bruderer, man, how you doing?
I am good. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. I mean, the college football stuff is really putting a damper on my life, but at least the NBA's around.
At least there's something.
I mean, I don't know how much you're following the college football stuff, but it is insane what's happening. You got school presidents wanting to cancel the season. Players and coaches are tweeting that. I mean, I know this is a basketball pub. You got to hear this. A Nebraska's football coach came out and said today that he wants to play in the Big Ten, but if the Big Ten cancels their season, they'll go play other people. It's like, it's crazy.
Wow. How do you even manage all of that? Like,
well, I think that's precisely the problem. There is no one managing it. And so I think there's frustrations boiling that, like, yeah, I don't know how else to say it, but there's just, I think it's all coming to a boil, and who knows what's going to happen, but it's crazy. At least the NBA, they had a plan, and I think the bubble is exceeding people's even wildest dreams and hopes for it. I mean, it's
for sure.
It's amazing how well it's worked. The product on the court has been really good. The TV presentation's been good, and the safety's been outstanding.
Yeah, no positive tests at all, which I think is really surprising. Like,
I do too. I thought there'd be some tests.
Yeah, totally. But it's been, I mean, and there still might be as the season and playoffs progress. Like, it doesn't make sense why there would be, but I guess it's possible. The interesting thing is if they bring the bubble back for next year's regular season.
They're going to have to without a vaccine.
They're talking about doing it like they're doing like bubbles in different areas of the country and then giving teams like, you know, they'll stay for a month and then take like a couple weeks off and then go to either that same location or another location. So they're not away from their families for
literally the entire. Because you can't have an 80-game season in a bubble. You can't do it.
Yeah. No.
That's too big of an ask. Even the only reason I think this time frame is working is because you're about to see half the teams go home. Well, not half, but six teams are about to leave. And then shortly after that, 8 teams will leave. I mean, so that means the majority of the players are only doing a month and a half. That you can handle, but 6-7 months, no way. No chance.
No, they'd go totally nuts. I don't think the players would go for it, especially after having experienced it for, like, and this, think about, this isn't necessarily a fair comparison, but the only thing that comes to mind for me and probably for you is being in the missionary training center and staying there. And, you know, imagine being there for, you know, 6-7 months. Like, no.
There's no way. Well, you and I both did 2 months. I can't believe I haven't thought of this before. We lived the bubble. We've done the bubble. We've done what these NBA players are doing, and our bubble was a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, they had all kinds of, lots of cool activities and stuff. I mean, granted, we didn't have to get tested for anything, but outside of that, it was a very, it was a contained location, So a different kind of bubble, but still a bubble for sure.
Let's start with this. The Lakers better hope and pray that somebody gets in the way of Portland, because I feel like Portland will upset the Lakers. The Lakers have been playing such bad basketball. They did what they needed to do, which is lock up the one seed. But in hindsight, maybe you wanted that two seed. I mean, Portland just looks unbelievable. And it's easy to forget that this team was incredibly injured for the most of the regular season. And now they're long, they're tall. They've had some young players step up. I mean, the Lakers just look horrific. And there's been some off-season signings that just look absolutely atrocious. Danny Green doesn't look like he belongs in the NBA. I mean, he's not providing defense, and he's not providing three-point shooting.
What's
wrong with Danny Green,
zero
dude?
Sense. It's almost like he was like, you know what, I'm going to join L.A. and – finish out my career here. I've gotten a championship. I've checked out. Like, that's kind of what it feels like to me, because he was great in the finals last year. And that's, I was excited to bring him in. I was like, yes, we're getting Danny Green. He's a 3-and-D guy, and he knocks down big shots at big moments, and he's been a dud. And
he's been a dud.
It's scary with, obviously, LeBron James is still, you know, I'm not too worried about LeBron. LeBron's going to be good. Anthony Davis is probably going to be good. Yeah. But aside from those guys, I love Alex Caruso. I think Caruso.
Yes, I do. I was just going to say, Caruso is, I think, the third best player. You know what you're going to get from him. His shooting has been bad. I wish that he was a better three-point shooter. But he's not a liability. He makes winning plays. I mean, you saw that in the Clippers game and the win over the Jazz. He makes winning plays. He's trustworthy, which a lot of these guys – he's the exact opposite of Kuzma. Kuzma is not trustworthy. Kuzma does not make winning plays. He's not consistent. I mean, if Kuzma was anything like Caruso, I think this team would be the favorite to win the title. But because you – anywhere other than LeBron, and AD's had a really good year. His fourth quarter numbers are concerning to me. I mean, his fourth quarter numbers against the Clippers in particular are rough. I mean, I think he has like 10 points in 4 games played against the Clippers, but it's I think the biggest frustration with what I've seen so far from the Lakers is you look around the league, you look at the Clippers. Everyone says that the Clippers can just flip the switch. That is not a fair assumption. It is not easy to flip the switch. And I don't like it when that gets used towards teams that haven't accomplished anything. Yeah, that used to get thrown around with the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. Oh, can they flip the switch? Yes, they can, because they've proven it. They've won titles. Like, that's an appropriate term to use for a Warriors team or even a LeBron team in Cleveland, because they've shown that they've done it and it's worked out. You cannot say the same for the Clippers. You can't say, oh, they're going to flip the switch. They don't care about the regular season. Yeah. They better care, Kyle, because they've never done anything in the playoffs. So the Clippers are too inconsistent, in my opinion, to be the favorites. I think Milwaukee's the favorite. They've been the most consistent, but they've got issues as well. And so you look at the league and you're like, hey, LeBron's old. This team is incomplete. If there's any year to win, it's this year. Because next year the Warriors are back and the Clippers are probably like it seems to me like it's a one-year window. The Lakers got to get it done, but the play from their supporting cast is making me think they're not going to get it done.
It's just any of those guys are like, yes, they can have a decent night here and then, but then they go dormant for games at a time. Like Quinn Cook against Indiana. Yeah, he played great.
Indiana?
But aside from that, he's been just a bum. Like, I like him, but...
Yeah.
Like, where has that been? And,
That's the question we're asking across
Kyle
the whole
Kuzma
team, almost.
Kyle has been so disappointing to me. And the fact that he, like...
Yep.
I was really bothered by the fact that he tweeted out or, like, put on Instagram or whatever it was on social media when he was like, you know, if you didn't like us during the down years or whatever, and, like, here's that number one seed for you or whatever. Like, it's like, no, dude, that wasn't you. Like,
that was
LeBron
James. That
was
LeBron
James. 100%.
Kyle and Anthony
Kuzma,
Davis.
I don't know what happened. Year one, Kyle Kuzma looked so good. He looked versatile. Now he seems like a freaking one-trick pony. The way that he moves his body, he doesn't attack the basket well. He makes me nervous. He's the player that gets the basketball, and I'm like, crap, what is he going to do?
It almost makes you wonder if that dinner with Kobe was the worst thing that
Kobe
ever happened.
Kobe just boosted his ego, and then he was like, oh, Kobe says I'm good. But, oh, my God, I wish Kobe – my God.
So I'm going to play like Kobe. And it's like, no, you're nothing like Kobe. You don't have the – Kobe Bryant didn't, you know, walk into the arena in fashion clothing all the time, wasn't out, you know, dating every model left and right. It's just like there's hardly any similarities between the two people in terms of – obviously they're not the same player on the court. But in terms of off the court – work ethic, demeanor, they could not be remotely similar.
It's so that's very concerning. I hope there's just lots and lots of hope. And it's so interesting to me because the Lakers were just rolling before this happened.
Yeah.
And now it's like they're having to start over, and it's like you're seeing they're not fast. They look, I mean, they like to get out and run, but it's like seeing – I don't know how to – it's like the old dog trying to keep up with the young dogs. It's like they try and run and play a fast-paced basketball, but their fast-paced ball is still not very fast. So
They're like the 45-year-old dad who's wearing tank tops and – baggy,
But man, I wanted to mention, it's just so crazy how, you know, the bubble, like there's going to be so many, you know, oh, what if this or what if that, but the bubble thing has given so many players, not the bubble, but just the timing of it all. So many players had extra time to heal from injuries that, like, look at Nurkic. Yep. The dude freaking busted his leg, and he wasn't going to play any of this season, and now here he is playing for Portland again, playing a big role.
Yeah,
and
that's a great point.
Who else? I'm trying to think. Indiana, you've got Oladipo back, who isn't, you know, putting up crazy numbers, but
he doesn't even look like the best player on the team. TJ
Warren,
I
don't know what happened with him, but speaking of him, we'll have to talk about this later, but I'm pretty sure the Heat and the Pacers are playing today, and I kind of want to see what happens between him and Jimmy Butler. Because did you? Why yeah, did you say that? You are missing something. Back early in the year, those two were guarding each other, and they like almost got into, I wouldn't say a fight, but they definitely got heated, and I'm pretty sure that Warren got ejected. Warren was like, I'm going to beat your A, I'm going to blah, 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 and Jimmy Butler just like kept blowing him kisses, and then afterwards Jimmy Butler was like, yeah, he's not even close to being on my level and all this stuff. And now here's this TJ Warren guy who's just ripping it. He's, you know, like,
He is, in my opinion, the MVP.
You can't, I mean, you can't argue. Him and I mean, Devin Booker's been really good, too.
Devin Booker's been outstanding.
But my goodness.
Yes.
Like.
What was Phoenix doing? Phoenix dumped TJ Warren for nothing.
Cash considerations.
I mean, the thing that does need to be remembered in these situations is TJ Warren was not that in Phoenix, and that's why he got traded. And you can't just assume that had he stayed in Phoenix, their trajectory would have been the same. I mean, a change of scenery does a lot of people well, not just athletes, even in, like regular people in certain friend groups or freaking Siri, man. Siri, I wasn't talking to you. Sorry.
Oh, that happens to you. It's Siri. Kind of rhymes with Siri, and then it'll just, oh, crap, I said it. Oh.
Oh, but anyways, back to TJ Warren. It's just like, yeah, he's a prime example of someone who, honestly, I don't know off the top of my head where his contract situation is, but he's making himself a lot of money. Because if he continues to play like this next year, he is he's aiming for $20 million or more a year.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
Back to our beloved Lakers, though. I am so in the dumps about what I've seen. Anthony Davis. I know this isn't a surprise, but I always felt like a title rested on the shoulders of Anthony Davis, because I feel like you know what you're going to get from LeBron James. You're going to get a guy who takes it to another level in the postseason, and he's someone who's reliable. You know that he's put in the work during the offseason. Anthony Davis, sometimes he looks like he's the best player in the league, and other times he has 9 points against who was the loss before Indiana? I think it was OKC, actually. I think he had 9 points against OKC. And it's like, we're getting ousted in the first round if that's what Anthony Davis gives us. And you can't have a 40-point game followed by a 9-point game in a playoff series against Portland. If he's not dominant in that series, Portland's winning the series. And
Damian Lillard is going – I hope that somehow, some way – Portland just I don't know. They're rolling right now, but there's a chance. Isn't there a chance? Isn't Phoenix only like one game behind them right now?
Phoenix, well, there's like right four there, teams so. Battling for the play-in game. Memphis is I think a half game ahead. You got to hope and pray that somebody staves off Portland.
We have
if Portland's the 9 seed, that's fine, because then they have to win 2 games. But if Portland is the 8 seed and they only have to win one game, and they're in.
We have no answer for Damian Lillard. We have no one that can guard him. We have no one that can guard CJ McCollum. And then you have to pay attention to Carmelo Anthony. Like, that's oh man, that's bad.
Imagine Kuzma in the third and fourth quarters and just how used and abused he would be by McCollum and Lillard. Cause that's when Kuzma's in the game, he gets picked on defensively. Yeah. He's been that bad.
It's been even when Kuzma's putting forth the defensive effort, it's like, he's not
good.
He's running in the wrong direction almost. That's the equivalent of it. It's like, sure. Yeah, he might have the size and, you know, maybe a little bit of strength and stuff, but it's like you can do the wrong thing really well and it's not going to matter.
Exactly. That's a great point, is that I think in the bubble, you can't say that he hasn't tried. It just doesn't matter because he's just that bad of a defender. You know, it's like, And I don't know if that's his size or whatever it is, but man, he just, if he is outside of 15 feet, it's an easy, I don't want to say bucket,
yeah,
but you're going to get a great shot. Kuzma's a little bit better closer to the rim because of his length, but he's a liability. Yep. You can't play him at the end of the game. You can't play – there's only three people you can trust at the end of the game, Caruso, Davis, and LeBron. And shame on me for thinking this wasn't a big deal, but when Avery Bradley sat out, that's, I was like, no big deal. It's massive. Yeah, LeBron trusts him.
I was like, okay, we got Caruso. We've got – you know, even though I haven't been impressed with Danny Green, I still was like, we're going to get something out of this guy, right? But he's missing open threes. Not contested threes, open threes. And that is I'm super concerned because we have – our team just can't shoot. I feel like our offensive scheme, we do get a decent amount of quality looks, but our shooting is just really bad. So
– I want to chalk it up to just like a bad streak. I hope streak,
so. But... time will tell. Hopefully we are wrong. Hopefully we can look back on this day and be like, man, thank goodness we were wrong there.
They weren't the worst – shooting team in the regular season. They were number one in overall field goal percentage. I think like 24th in 3-point percentage. You can win a championship by being a middle of the pack 3-point shooting team. You can, but you can't be a championship team if you're dead last. Like, we're last in points scored in the bubble. We're last in shooting percentage. Those are things that will not get you to the finals. And against a team like Portland, you're probably getting beat. I mean, if it's Memphis, I don't have any concerns. If it's Phoenix, I know Phoenix is red hot, but I still don't have any concerns. Portland is the one team where I'm like, I actually might pick Portland to win that series in a bubble situation with no home court Portland advantage.
Portland hasn't really gone far in the playoffs. They've got loads of playoff experience. I think Phoenix is a team where, even though they're red hot, even in the bubble, it's a different game, and I think Phoenix would just get manhandled by the Lakers. I mean, Devin Booker would probably be a problem, but I'm not too concerned about anybody else there. But Portland has a lot of weapons that are experienced, and so that worries me quite a bit.
Who do you think? Two questions for you, and then we'll wrap it up. We don't want to drag on all day. We haven't done a podcast in forever. It seems like the last podcast we did was years ago. So it's been great to be back. And we got during the playoffs. We got to do this weekly or something. But two questions. Question number one: who do you think the final four teams will be, based on what you've seen so far in the bubble, East and West?
Goodness. Like you're talking about, like, so the final eight teams, you're talking about the final four on each side, or
I'm talking the Western and Eastern Conference battles.
I think Milwaukee for sure in the East. Man, that's hard. That is really hard. I think in the West, if Portland makes it in and if Portland upsets LA, I feel like the Portland would go to the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. That would be crazy. So you got Milwaukee and Portland, and who are the other two teams?
Well, okay, I'm not necessarily saying Portland's going to be there. My gut and my hope is that I think it's going to be the battle of LA. So I think it's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers. And then I think it's going to be Milwaukee and what are the standings right now? It's been kind of changing.
There's two choices, basically Toronto or Boston.
I think it's going to be Toronto. I think it's going to be Toronto.
Wow.
I think that again, right there, like they've got loads of that experience. They've got really, really good shooters. Boston has got really good players as well, but I don't know. My gut's telling me Toronto. So I would say Toronto and Milwaukee, and then Lakers and Clippers.
I'm going to go Clippers and Houston, and Milwaukee and Boston. I think Boston just has a little more firepower. I would love to see a Lakers-Boston finals, though, man.
I don't think Houston's going to do it.
Really? Why do you say that?
I don't think they have it. I just don't think that it's going to – I mean, the whole small ball thing they're doing, I don't think it's going to work long term. So that's just my thought.
I think the thing that benefits Houston, though, is Harden is fresh. Yeah. He's not normally this fresh going into a postseason because of having played so many minutes during the regular season, but he had so many months off to get rested and get in shape. I think Harden's going to be dangerous in the postseason.
I agree, but I think Denver would be my pick over Houston. I think that Denver's got tons and tons of weapons, and Denver's super good. I think Dallas is sneaky good right now as well.
Dallas is sneaky good.
Like, Doncic
has been amazing.
I mean, the Lakers are my team, but my favorite player to watch in the entire league is Luka. He just boggles my mind.
Wow.
He's so good, and he's so young. Just crazy.
I don't think you'll hate this, but a lot of people who know me will. Lakers are my favorite team. My favorite player to watch, though, is still Steph, I think. I love Steph Curry. Doncic is awesome. I have no bones to pick with him. He's such a classy guy. He behaves the right way on the court. He's exciting and entertaining, so he's right up there. I still love Steph. I think Steph gets a lot of unnecessary hate. But
you know, it's been a while since Steph really had a chip on his shoulder, so I think I think the Warriors are going to be something special next season. I think they have a lot that they feel they have to prove, where before it was kind of like a given it was going to be the Warriors. But when you – I mean, the Warriors, they're – even though they're going to have their, you know, full strength ultimately next season, I think they're still going to feel like they have a lot to prove. And they're going to be scary. And having Andrew Wiggins on – isn't Wiggins on that team too?
Yeah, Here's my bold prediction for the future of the NBA. And there's a caveat. If Milwaukee does not win the finals this year, I think that Giannis is going to Golden State.
Holy
moly. Can you imagine? Giannis, Wiggins, Clay, and Steph.
I wouldn't want to watch basketball. I would. It would be special, but I feel like that's even more deadly than having KD on that team. I mean, KD
probably
is ultimately,
I think
the more skilled player. Giannis is just so physically gifted that he doesn't have to have those KD skills. I feel like he would have more of an impact than KD would. And that's no disrespect to Kevin Durant, because he's unbelievable. But having those shooters and then having a wide open lane to the basket that Giannis can take a step and a half to get to, get out of town.
All right, my final question. Well, it's a two-part question. And I know for those of you who know me, I actually really hate two-part questions. But it's like an A and B. It's of the same thought. There's just two different angles to the question. So normally I hate this, but I'm making an exception here. And that is, in regards to the bubble, what's been your most pleasant surprise? It can be anything. And what is something you wish they had done that they didn't do? It can be scheduling. It can be seating. It can be the TV. It can be any of that. If you want me to go first, I'm happy to go first. My most pleasant surprise has been the quality of the broadcasts. And I think it was very wise for the NBA to send broadcasters to the bubble. I know that you can do a broadcast from home, but it's noticeable. It's not as good. And so the fact that the broadcasters are there doing the games, I think it adds a lot of value to the broadcasts. It doesn't really feel any different than a game in a home team's arena, except for there's not the crowd shots and crowd reactions, which I miss, and I want those back. But other than that, it feels and looks the same, which has been great. My biggest disappointment is just specifically that it's not 1-16 instead of East through West, because I think that would have given a little bit better advantage to the higher seeds. And then along with that, there just hasn't been enough creativity. Like, I'm happy that it's back, but this just seemed like a really good opportunity to do some crazy stuff. 1-16, no conferences. I don't know, maybe a 4-point line. That's getting a little crazy, but just doing tons of crazy stuff. Another idea I had was for the higher seeded team, anytime the game goes to overtime, the higher seeded team gets the first possession. Just little wrinkles to tinker with that I just feel like there was a really big missed opportunity here to be more creative than they've been. But that's really nitpicking because it's been so much better than I think anyone anticipated that it's hard to complain.
I would, like you said, I would have preferred that the home team needs some level of home court advantage. And yes, they do have, you know, the team's logos on there, which is it doesn't really make that much of a difference. And you have some crowd noise, and you have, you know, they'll do certain chants for, you know, that team, whoever it is, which is all fine and dandy, but it's not really home court advantage. And I think that might be why some of these players that we just haven't been super impressed with, like in the regular season, that have kind of come alive here in the bubble, is it probably feels more like practice. It probably feels like a practice scenario where you don't have the crowd, and maybe there's certain players that just thrive more in that type of enclosed scenario. I don't know, but I wish that there
were that's a good point.
More benefits for the, and I don't think that they're doing anything different for the playoffs, but I'd like to have maybe an additional timeout for the home team, or an additional, like you said, like in overtime, you get the first possession, or even rather than doing it.
Or maybe you get an extra challenge.
Yeah. You've got to give.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the seeding. It's like those teams earned it. It kind of flushes.
Exactly.
The whole regular. I mean, yeah, you made the playoffs, but aside from that, everything else doesn't really matter. So that is, that's tricky. And the 1-16 thing would have been so cool. You would have seen teams meet in the playoffs that never, ever, ever would have met in the playoffs before. And I feel like the matchups, it would have been, especially like in the middle of the pack. Yes, it would have been that would have been, I think, more realistic home court advantage to the top teams, being able to play those super, super low seeds in the grand scheme of it.
Yep. Exactly.
But the middle of the pack would be real.
Which is basically saying the top two or three teams would have played the bottom teams from the East. Which is a huge difference from playing Portland to Orlando.
And of course, you know, we're going to have that opinion because our team being the number one seed in the West is in the danger zone. So that sounds more appealing for us.
True. That's a great point. But I really like your point about, okay, yes, that's certainly biased on our part, but it would have been cool to see crazy matchups, OKC and Boston, or, you know, Houston and Indiana. It just would have been really cool.
I mean, that right there is the biggest hang-up for doing – like, that's the only reason why I think the NBA doesn't do the 16-team thing is because of travel. There's no travel. So that was kind of the golden opportunity to do something like that. So it's unfortunate that it didn't happen that way.
And your favorite thing?
My favorite thing, I love being able to, it feels more intimate. Like I wish that they didn't mute so much. But, I mean, yeah, I get it. I get why they're doing it. It's not like this is, you know, a pay-per-view kind of thing. But I, for the most part, like, I enjoy being able to hear a lot more. Like, you hear the ball bounce. You hear, you know, people yell out, you know, defensive and offensive, you know, sets and, you know, calling for screens. And, you know, I enjoy that aspect of it. You can hear a lot more. You feel almost like you are courtside. Compared to the regular thing. Some of the camera views are pretty cool that you wouldn't get in a regular game. Some of them are kind of, I'm not a huge fan of, but some of them are cool. So that's my answer.
Nice. Well, thanks for talking some hoops. It's been too long. Looking forward to watching a lot of the playoffs, and hopefully our beloved Lakers can figure out this terrible shooting. All right, dude. Have a